Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Joshua tonight. The book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter number 6 and 7, the first part of 8. We're going to see some things here tonight, and I'd had this on my mind for a while, but I believe it's time, and I really enjoyed the message that Brother Brent brought the other night about Caleb and Caleb wanting that mountain. And I'm glad the Lord can use us even in our latter days. Amen. The Bible said tonight in verse number 13 of chapter number 5, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? That kind of backs up something that I've known for some time. There really no fence straddling, is there? Amen. Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You're either gathering into my sheepfold or you're scattering abroad. And Joshua just asked the question. He said, are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Are you an ally or are you an enemy? In verse 14, he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Let's pray, and we'll get right into this tonight. Father, I thank you for the Word of God, and I thank you, Father, tonight for these characters that you put in the Bible. Lord, you said in the book of 1 Corinthians that these were left for our ensamples, that we could look back, our Father, and glean from Joshua's life, and glean from Caleb's life, and even glean tonight from Achan's life. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us to glean truth, that would help us to be a better Christian, to be more like Jesus. In thy name we pray, amen and amen. What I want to talk to you about tonight, in chapter number 5 here, Joshua has an encounter with the Lord. In chapter number 6, there's a great victory won at Jericho in the lives of the people of Israel. In chapter number 7, there's a great defeat that's experienced. And I want to look at tonight for a subject matter. And then in chapter number 8, you see the conquest of Ai and how that they go back the second time and they win. And what I want to look at tonight is the thought of enjoying victory and escaping defeat. If you could live in victory, how many'd rather live in victory? Amen? If you could escape the defeatism, that I'm going to tell you right now, it's rampant, even in churches today. Amen? Most churches, let me just say this to you, just trying to hold their own. Am I right or am I wrong? They're not trying to take any new ground. They're not looking for another missionary. They're not looking for another soul to be saved. Most are just trying to hold on, amen, till Jesus comes. And I don't think that's victory, amen. By the way, I don't believe that Canaan is a type of heaven. Because in heaven, surely to goodness, we ain't going to be fighting nobody else, amen. But in Canaan land, there was land to be possessed. There was battles to be won. There was giants to be conquered. Amen. But thank God it's a type of the victorious Christian life. And God wants us to be victors. The Bible said we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But I believe there's some reasons tonight why we experience defeat at times in our life. And we'd like to glean from the Scripture tonight and see what's going on in our own lives as we compare to what's going on here in the Bible. First of all tonight, if we're going to enjoy victory, first of all, I just want to say this. You got to be on the winning side. Amen? There are some people that are not ever going to enjoy victory because they're just not on the winning side. And I know I'm talking to the prayer meeting crowd tonight. Amen? And I know that no doubt most of us, if not all of us, are on the winning side. In other words, we've been born into the family of God. But I want to tell you something tonight. Somewhere tonight, I'll guarantee you, on a Wednesday night, there's somebody sitting in a church service just like this that's not on the winning side. Amen? I'm telling you tonight, Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. I mean, wasn't we there ever prayer meeting night? Wasn't we there? Didn't we have all the Sunday school pins? Didn't we have a baptism certificate? Amen? I'm just telling you, there are many people that are religious. But I'm telling you, if you're going to be on the winning side, you got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You must be born again. And Joshua has an encounter with a holy God. And we need to, if we're going to win tonight and be on the victorious side of life, then we need to never, never forget how that we got where we are. Amen? I can wrap it up in one word, how I got where I am. Grace. Hallelujah. Amen. It's by the grace of God. You see, I believe that this encounter here is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, why do you believe that? Because anytime the Bible talks about the angel of the Lord and that there's worship involved, unless it's the pre-incarnate Christ, that angel will never receive worship. And here in the Bible, the captain of the Lord's host, he said, take your shoes off. He fell on his face and he worshiped and he said, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And so tonight, we need to remember how that we got where we are. Make sure you're on the winning side. Make sure your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible said, examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. The Bible said, prove your own selves. Amen. The Bible said, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'll tell you something right now. I don't believe it's a thing in the world wrong with looking in that mirror and understanding. Amen. Hey, I have a time. I have a place where I know a change took place in my life. Amen. And God birthed me into His family. So we got to be on the winning side. And then what we're going to see here is a great victory at Jericho. And I'm not going to read through all the verses, but I want to read a few. The Bible said the Lord in verse 2 of chapter 6 said unto Joshua, see, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Let me ask you something tonight. What would it change in our hearts and our lives if we really believed that God had given us Bloomingdale? Say amen right there. I mean, it might change our marching orders, amen? If we really, really believe down deep in our heart that God put us here to be a light, you say, preacher, Bloomingdale's dark. Most of Bloomingdale's on their way to hell. I understand. But what if we really believe that God put us here to make a difference in this generation? I believe that, don't you? I don't believe God put us here to blend in. I believe God put us in here to shine out, amen? And to let the light shine into the world around us. He said, I've given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thou do 6 days. You know how they marched around? They marched around. And then they shouted. The Bible said, look what the Bible said in verse number 10. And Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day that I bid you shout, then shall you shout. In Jericho, most of these people died. Most of these people went to hell. Amen? That may be the way in Bloomingdale. Amen? But I'll tell you this right now. Thank God there was a Rahab. Thank God there was a family. I'm telling you tonight, if we look at it and say, hey, if you're living in victory, that don't mean you're going to get them all. That don't mean you're going to get most of them. But thank God, one or two, amen, is worth the fight. Say amen. One or two. One or two families. One or two teenagers. I thank God for the teenagers that walked to church. Amen. And Zach was back. I don't see him tonight. But Zach was back again Sunday night. Amen. I thank God for what he's doing. Amen. And the Bible talks about Rahab and the scarlet thread and all of that. And they were living in victory. They won the battle against the enemy. They were able to rescue Rahab. I tell you, it's a blessing to me. But you know, if you go over there in the Bible, you'll find out that Rahab was Boaz's mother. Now you think about that for just a minute. Glory to God, Brother Gale, you get over there to the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only place where the harlot is not tacked onto Rahab's name. Amen. I tell you, God changes us, amen, when he puts us in the family. Rahab was worth fighting for. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart that there are people here that we need to live in victory. We don't need to be defeated, and we need to enjoy the victory. So the first thing tonight is don't forget how you got where you are. In verse number 10, we need to obey the authority that God has placed in our lives. How many believes this book is authoritative? Amen. You know what the difference was in Jesus' day when Jesus stood up and spoke? The Bible said he spoke as one having authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees. Oh, dear goodness. Listen, people, when we teach this book or preach this book, we don't have to apologize for this book. Amen. And I'm telling you, this book is the final authority. Amen. And we need to, whatever Joshua told him, he said, you shall, when I tell you to shout. And listen, we all have a chain of command in our lives, don't we? Amen. Listen, I believe with all of my heart that if we're going to have victory, then whatever that is that God has set up in authority over us, we need to submit to that authority. Would somebody say amen right there? I believe that with all of my heart. With children are submitting, and wives are submitting, husbands are submitting, pastors submitting, and the church submits to the Lord. Amen. The head of the church. I thank the Lord tonight. We need to obey the authority that he's put in our lives. And let me give you this. Then we also need to learn this if we're going to enjoy victory. How many believes the walls fell down when they shouted? Let me ask you this. Did the walls fall down and then they shouted? Or did they shout and then the walls fell down? You know what a lot of people are waiting on? They're waiting to see a great move of God. And when they see a great move of God, then they're going to get enthused and shout. I'm going to tell you what, I've already seen a great move of God. He saved my soul. Amen. Wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the Bible said, listen, when they sent him out and those demons were subject unto him, he said, don't rejoice about that. Rejoice because your name's written in heaven. Amen. There ought to be, we ought to learn. Listen, if we're going to live in victory, we need to learn to shout before the walls ever fall down. Amen. Shout. Glory to God. Listen, I know that there are enemy walls out there. But thank God by faith. Amen. Well, I've already read the last chapter in the last book and we win. Amen. And so I'm going to shout on faith tonight. Amen. Thank the Lord tonight. We need to learn to obey that authority. Learn to shout before the victory ever comes. Amen. We always need to remember this. God keeps his word. The Bible talked about this deal here with Rahab and the spies. She hid them. You know how she did it? The word of God said, by faith. Rahab, by faith. When those spies came in there, Rahab said, we've done heard about your God over here. And we're in a heap of trouble. Amen. Glory to God. You know what I believe? I've already read the Bible. I see the way America's going. And our country's in a heap of trouble. But we just need to go ahead and let down the scarlet thread. Amen. And just see one or two rescued from the trouble that's coming. Amen. Bless the Lord. The Bible's talking about here enjoying victory. Enjoying victory and escaping defeat. Come on into chapter 7 with me. There's a great victory right here in chapter 6. How many say amen? How many believes those Israelites never forgot that?
I believe they told their children, their children told their children, their children told their children, said, you should have been there that day when that thing collapsed. Oh, except one little section of that wall. See, Rahab's house was up on that wall. And those spies said, you just get everybody you want, everybody in the family. You just make sure they're in your house because the rest of it's coming down. Amen. Oh, I thank the Lord tonight for that great victory. I thank the Lord tonight. How many of y'all have some great victories in your life? Hallelujah. Amen. We were kidding yesterday, weren't we, Brother Anthony? We were sitting there, I was eating a sandwich. Amen. And I prayed for Brother Ralph. He was in surgery. I prayed for him. And I said, amen. And Brother Anthony got a text. Said he's out of surgery and everything's good. Amen. I said, you know, God don't usually answer my prayers that quick. Amen. I mean, just like that. Amen. But aren't you glad he does answer prayer? Amen. Aren't you glad? Thank the Lord that Brother Ralph was only in there 20 minutes and they were done. Amen. Thank God for the victory that he gives us. Amen. Thank the Lord tonight. Now let me give you this. As we come into chapter number 7, I'm not even going to start reading yet, but I'm going to make a point before we go on. Here's the point. We need to learn. How many of you all been at Bible Way Baptist Church? Of course, it ain't been a Baptist church, but about 8 years, I think, something like that. How many's been at Bible Way Church for more than 10 years? Would you raise your hand if you've been here more than 10 years? Okay. How many's been here more than 15 years? Okay. How many's been here more than 20 years? Okay. Praise the Lord. How many's been here more than 30 years? Amen. How old's the church, Brother Grizzle? How old is the church? Is it 40 years old now? 40? 37? It started in 70, so that'd be 43 years old, wouldn't it, if I'm doing the math right? 43. And I know that, let's see, I know that Brother Ralph and Sister Shelby were charter members. Is that correct? And then Brother Rossi and Sister Rossi are charter members. Is that correct? And Sister Gladys. Thank you, Brother Anthony. So that's 5 charter members been here. How many believes they've been some great victories in this church down through the years? How many can remember some right now in your heart and in your mind? Amen. You can remember some wonderful victories for the Lord. Amen. Where God took some ground away from the devil. Amen. How many remember that? But here's the point I want to make as we go into chapter number 7. We cannot afford, if we're going to live in victory, I thank God I can look back 26 years of being saved. I thank God I can look back there and see some wonderful victories where the Lord has come through. Amen. When I had an end out here and an end out here and didn't see no way to bring them together and God just brought them right together. Amen. I thank God I've got those times in my life. Amen. Thank God he saved my brother. And he and I are not fist fighting anymore, but hugging one another and loving one another. Thank God for the victories. But here's what I want to say before I get started. In chapter number 7, we cannot afford to live on past victories alone. If we're not careful. Now listen to me carefully. I'm looking at this, the children of Israel. We're going to see it here in just a minute. They've just come out of a wonderful victory. Jericho has fallen flat. I'm telling you, they've got the shout in their soul. Amen. But you know, there's going to be a little problem here. I'll show it to you. Look at it right here in just a minute. The Bible said in verse 1, the children of Israel committed a trespass. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to magnify this tonight in the message, if God will help me. The children of Israel committed a trespass. The Word of God right there did not say that Achan committed a trespass. Is anybody with me tonight so far? The Bible said the children of Israel committed a trespass. I want the youth group to get this tonight. Amen? You say, well, I'm just one. Nick, you say, I'm just one. Chris says, I'm just one. Chuck says, I'm just one. Amen? Amen. No. We're one. You see, when we get in the family of God, we're responsible for more than one. Amen. The Bible said the children of Israel committed a... When God told... Remember when Joshua later in the chapter, he falls on his face and he's crying out to God. And God said, get up, Joshua. He said, Israel hath sinned. I'm telling you tonight, this could change our church if every one of us, pastor included, got a hold of this tonight. If we get a hold of this tonight. Yes, I'm an individual. But I tell you what, no man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. I'm telling you, there's one man that's committed a trespass here, and the whole outfit's paying for it. Is anybody home tonight? Amen? I'm telling you what's the truth. Brother Brian, he brought out that Sunday school lesson Sunday morning on Search Me, O God, and Lord, try me. I'm telling you, every one of us would get busy at that if we would understand that it might be me that's holding the whole flow up. Amen? Listen tonight. The Bible said here, the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing. Now you say, preacher, what do you mean? Look at verse 18 of the previous chapter. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest you make yourselves accursed. When you take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel a curse and trouble it. He said, but all the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. And they shall come into the treasury of the Lord. You're going to have to stay with me a minute tonight. Let me just say this to you tonight. This accursed thing here, I believe, was this Babylonish garment. How many realizes that if you get over into chapter number 7, that Achan took that garment and he took the silver, the wedge of silver. Let me show it to you here. Look, turn over in chapter number 7 and verse number 21. He said, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. First of all, he said, I coveted them. I wanted them. And then he said, I took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Listen to me carefully tonight. I said we cannot afford to live on past victories. First, we got to be on the winning side. We got to be saved by the grace of God. We need to obey the authority that's in our life. And we cannot afford to just only be living on past victories. I'm going to tell you something right now. That'll bring a defeated spirit in your life if you're not careful. If all you can do is think about what's back yonder and you're not thinking about taking any ground for the Lord, it can bring about a defeated spirit in your heart and in your life. Listen to me. I know that we're not living, Brother Fred, in the days of revival that this country once saved. I tell you, it's the grace of God. God's even letting us breathe and read His Bible and pray and see anybody saved by the grace of God. The way this country's gone. The way our churches have gone. Even at times the way this preacher has gone since I've been saved by the grace of God. It's the grace of God that He'd use any of us. Amen? Grace of God that He'd bless any of us. Grace of God, Brother Fred, He'd let you sing again from the bottom of your soul for the glory of God. So here's what I want to say. Number one, as we get into this chapter, don't live on past victories alone. But number two, don't bury anything in your tent that don't belong there. There's a Babylonian garment. See, God always made a difference between the children of Israel and the rest of the world. Amen? How many believe God calls on us to be a peculiar people? That we ought to be different. Say amen. There ought to be something different in our speech. There ought to be something different in our appearance. There ought to be something different about us. There ought to be a glow about us for the glory of God Almighty. But here's what I want to say. This man buried it in his tent. God, give me something as I looked at this. You know, all I could think about to start with when the Lord first gave me this message was the tent being our house, like where we live. I'm just going to go ahead and say that's part of it. Let me just say this tonight. If we wouldn't watch it among God's people over here in the fellowship hall having some popcorn, I really don't believe we ought to be watching it at the house. Say amen. If we wouldn't listen to it, say amen. I'm telling you what's the truth. In other words, if it's something that's accursed and the devil's all over it, we ought to leave it alone. Amen. As God's people, we ought to leave it alone. How many knows there's a whole lot that's accursed in this world? I'm telling you, it is accursed. Amen. And it is a shame the writer, I can't remember where it is in the epistles, he said it's a shame even to speak of those things that are done. Amen? That this world and this devil, amen, and this world is up to, amen. It's a shame to even speak of them among God's people. But let me tell you something right now. Here's where God parked me and settled me when I looked at this time. Not only is it our home, we ought to make sure, amen, that in our home, that we don't have things where, you know, if Jesus come knocking on the door and you say, well, now, Lord, you stay out of that closet. There shouldn't be no closets like that at our house. Amen. The Lord ought to be welcome to both end tables and the coffee table. Amen. Let me say this to you tonight. Here's where I believe a lot of things are buried that's keeping us from victory. Not just our home, but our heart. I believe there are people, listen, I don't know one thing. I wouldn't have liberty to preach like this. If I knew that Brother Houston was sitting back there tonight and he's guilty of what I'm preaching, I wouldn't have liberty to preach it. That's just the way I am. Amen. I don't hide behind a pulpit and tell people what they need to hear. Amen. If it's individual, I'm going to go tell the individual face to face. God did give me a little bit of spine. Amen. But I'm telling you, I got sense enough to know that in my heart, in 26 years of being saved by the grace of God, there have been times I sat right where you're sitting and my heart was not right with God. There was something in my heart that needed to be made right with God, and it was buried in my heart. Nobody else could see it, but it was holding up the work of God. Now, we can't be like that one Baptist. He said, preacher, if they'd have been here tonight, you'd have told them. No, that's not the way it is. You see, Brother Brian, David had it right. David didn't go into the throne room of God and say, search them, oh God. Get after them, Lord. Tell them, Lord. Straighten them out, Lord. He said, God, right here, I need you to visit me. I need you to visit my heart. And if there's anything wrong in my heart, show it to me. And I believe with all my heart tonight, not only was there something buried in the tent, glory to God, God just give me this. It was buried in his heart. Where does covetousness come from? It don't come from the tent. It comes from the heart. Amen. I believe tonight with all of my heart that there's a reason that God wants us to understand. We can't live on past victories alone. But we've got to make sure, Brother David, make sure that there's nothing buried. Listen, sometimes that thing called hurt, how many's ever been hurt in the Christian experience? Sometimes that thing called hurt turns into bitterness. Am I right or am I wrong? You say, well, preacher, how can I tell whether my hurt has ever turned into a root of bitterness? I tell you how. How are you praying for you? How have you forgiven those that hurt you? Amen? You say, preacher, they ain't never asked me. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. Don't hold your breath waiting on them to either. Some will ask you. But I'm going to tell you, if you're going to live in victory, you're going to have to learn to forgive folk whether they ever ask you or not. You're going to have to learn to say, hey, Lord, look what you've forgiven me. And Lord, surely I can forgive them. Amen. So we need to watch what's buried in our home. We need to watch what's buried in our heart. How many knows that? We've got to watch what's buried in the house of God, don't we? Amen. A lot of this stuff that goes on, God's people are shocked when it comes out. How many knows I'm telling it right? You see, it was buried. But there's something we need to remember. We need to remember this. You can never bury it deep enough to be out of His sight. He's looking deeper than you and I can dig. He's looking deeper than you and I can bury anything. You see, this is our prayer meeting crowd tonight. Well, there's a lot of Christians can't handle this kind of preaching. But how many knows I'm telling the truth tonight? If we'll lay our heart out before the Lord, say, Lord, it might be there and I don't even know about it. You see, I've got a little flashlight about that long. I used to use a mini mag. And then somebody got me a free one from the Eastman. Yeah, y'all are laughing. Amen. It's free to me. Amen. It's given to me. Amen. If I go home with you tonight, you ain't going to worry about me having that flashlight in my pocket. But if I get it out of my pocket, and I want to get down on my knees and look up under your refrigerator, you're probably going to object right along there. Amen. Some of you wouldn't object. You've got sense enough to say, go ahead and pull it out, preacher, and clean it while you're in there. Amen. Get it out. But you see, that's back. How many of y'all know what kind of mess goes on under a refrigerator? Is there anybody in here that pulls it out more than once a year? Is there anybody in here pulls it out once a year? In other words, here's the point. It was there all the time. But until you shine a light on it, they don't really bother nobody. I'm going to tell you something right now. How many want to see God turn this community upside down? I'm going to tell you what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to let Him shine the light on whatever He wants to shine the light on. It might cause us to have to say, Lord, I'm sorry. It might cause us to have to say that to somebody else. All I'm saying tonight is, if we want to have real, genuine Holy Ghost victory, we can't bury anything in our home that don't belong there, in our heart that don't belong there, and we can't bury anything in the house of God that don't belong there. Amen. Let me give you this tonight. If we want to have victory, how many wants to have victory? I do. I don't want people in Bloomingdale to say, look over at Bible Way, a bunch of losers. Amen. I don't want that, do you? You know what I believe? Listen, we're going to have to keep at it. There's more Zachs. There's more Kalins. There's more teenagers on Carol Wood. Amen. There's more for the vans. There's more for the adult class. There's even more seniors out there if somebody just love on them a little bit. Amen. There's sinners everywhere. We're going to stay after it. Stay after it. Stay after it. But we're going to have to work at it, not from a defeatist attitude, but from a winner's attitude. From a victor's attitude. You see, let me give you something tonight. How many remembers Calvary? We are not fighting. Listen to me carefully. We are not fighting for the victory. The victory's already been won. We're fighting from the victory that's already been won at Calvary. Amen. Now listen tonight. Let's go on here just a minute. The Bible said here, if you go on down, the Bible said, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel, verse 7, or chapter 7, verse 1. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel. And they spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. Now watch this. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. Listen to me carefully right here. I love these teenagers. How many of y'all realize you have an enemy? You realize that? He's at his business, ain't he? Here's the next point in the message. If we're going to live in victory and escape defeat, never, never, ever underestimate the enemy. What they did, Brother Grizzle, they went up there and took a look at him. Said, there ain't nothing. Ain't no use in all of us going. Amen, Brother Gary, let's just take 2,000 or 3,000, get out there and whoop some tail and come on back. Amen. I mean, they just experienced a great victory. By the way, I want to just stop and say this tonight. I've learned this from experience. That's probably one of the most dangerous times in my life is when God just brings me through a great victory. Am I right or am I wrong, church? You can look at it in the Bible. And the Bible's telling us here, He said, don't take everybody. Just take 2,000 or 3,000. And what happened? The Bible said here, They went up thither, the people, 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them 36 men, for they chased them from before the gate, even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down, whereof the hearts of the people melted. Let me ask you a question. In your Christian experience, has your heart ever melted? Have you ever heard something, looked at something, experienced something, and you said, I cannot believe what I'm hearing, or what I'm seeing, or what I'm experiencing? Their heart melted, Brother Gale. These people that were men of war, ready to go whoop a little tail and come home, 36 of them are dead and going to need to be buried. And the rest of them are turning tail and running, and they're defeated. Why are they defeated? They underestimated the enemy. Let me give you some things tonight. I believe it's important. If we're going to enjoy victory, if we're going to escape defeat, that we realize our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I hope tonight, listen to me carefully, I hope there's no one in this room that glories or gloats when a Christian falls. I don't care what name tag is on that person. I don't care if they're Church of Christ, Church of God, if they're Pentecostal or if they're Baptist. I hope there's no one in this building that gloats or glories when a man in the ministry falls. I don't care what name tag is on it. Some people are there of the persuasion, well, bless God, I'm glad he's out of the way. The Apostle Paul said he had a bunch of people preaching and strife and contention. You know what he said? He said, I'm just glad they're telling somebody about Jesus. Amen. They didn't have to dot all their I's and cross all their T's. Listen, I believe what we believe, and we believe the Word of God, and I'm not ashamed of that. But I'm telling you, if up the road somewhere, somebody else goes down, you and I would do well to realize we might be next. And not underestimate the enemy. There's moms and dads sitting here tonight. These teenagers, mothers and fathers, have no doubt all of them have heard of a teenager that went sour, that went the wrong way, that got in a heap of trouble. I hope and pray to God you never think, well, that'll never happen to my teenager. I pray to God it never does. But I tell you, a healthier way to approach it would say, Lord, keep your hand upon my youngins. Oh God, if they make it, it'll be by the grace of God. It won't be because of me. It'll be because of you. They underestimated the enemy. We can't afford to do that. Can't afford to do that. Get on over here tonight. We need to get to the place, if we're going to be victors, where we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Look at verse number 21. He said, when I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver, a wedge of gold, 50 shekels weight, I coveted them. Now, let me ask you a question. How many remembers what I read a while ago well enough to remember where the silver and the gold belonged? Where did it belong? Somebody tell me. In the treasury, in the house of God. Ain't that right, brother? Where did that Babylonian garment belong? Wherever it was laying. It was accursed. Leave it alone. Is that right or is that wrong? Did I read that a while ago? Now, he said, preacher, what is Satan's devices? Well, he always tries to get us to want something that God said we have nor to have, or we couldn't have, we should not have. He's always wanting us to want something. You see, a lot of people think that the Ten Commandments are given by a God that just don't want us to have any fun. Is there any old-time Christians in here that could say with me tonight, we didn't know what fun was till we got saved and started serving God? Hallelujah! You see, the devil's fun. Them apples got worms in them. Amen. And you don't realize it till you bite into one. Somebody said the only thing worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm is biting into an apple and finding half of a worm. All the devil's apples have worms in them. So we looked. I'm going to go ahead and make a statement tonight. This goes for me, you, every child of God there is. But if we have got something down at the house that belongs in the house of God, somebody say amen. We're never going to experience the fullness of God's blessings till we make it right. You say, preacher, that's getting dangerous there now. No, it's not dangerous. How many believes that there are four-wheelers and boats and big screen TVs that was bought with God's tithes? Say amen. You say, preacher, you ain't got no right to preach like that. I'm talking about living in victory. I'm talking about if we've done such things, then what we ought to do is just say, Lord, help me to make it right. I robbed you for what I wanted. It may not be one person in this building tonight that's done that. But I'll guarantee you one thing. You wouldn't have to go far to find somebody that has. A lot of people don't tithe, they tip. And they don't even tip. They give a waitress more than they give the Lord. Say amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand why you would preach like that. Because I love you. Because I want you to have the fullness of God's blessings in your life. I'm not concerned. Amen. God is blessing us here at the church financially. That's not what it's about. It's about saying, hey, God, use us, light us, make us a fire in this dark world. Boy, I tell you, if some heart say, Lord, I cheated you in order to have this. And if you'll let me live. If the fear of God come in just right, that's what we'd be saying. God, if you just let me live, I want to make that right. Amen? Amen? I believe with all of my heart tonight, we don't need to be ignorant of Satan's device. He calls us to want to look. He calls us to want to lust. Am I right or wrong? The pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, his game is still the same. He ain't changed a thing. Amen? There ain't one thing in the world wrong with you living in a nice house. Unless it come between you and God. You driving a wonderful, nice vehicle unless it come between you and God. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, there's nothing wrong with having things. But there is something wrong with things having you and I. A lot of people have things, and a lot of people, their things have them. How many knows I'm telling it right? Amen. Don't know one example of it in this crowd tonight, but I know this. The Lord loves us. He wants us to live in victory. And we can't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. What he was up to in Achan's life, he's still trying to trip me up and trip you up with the same thing. He still wants you, Austin, to look over there and want something that God said you can't have. And God didn't say you can't have it because he just wants to hurt you. God said you can't have it because he wants to help you. Because he loves you. Let's go on down just a minute. Are you having fun? Amen. Notice what the Bible said. We need to remember something here. The Bible said here, they took them. Joshua sent messengers. They ran into the tent. Behold, it was in the tent and the silver under it. I kind of think this is strange a little bit. Even though the man is confessing, Joshua sent messengers to make sure that it was exactly as the man said. Achan had said, Now watch this. In verse 23, they took them out of the midst of the tent. They brought them unto Joshua and to all the children of Israel and laid them out. I tell you, God, this scripture, God made this scripture jump off the page at me today. The Bible said they laid them out before the Lord. I tell you, that's where that victory comes. Please hear me well. If it's something in there, it don't need to be laid out before the church. It don't need to be laid out before the pastor. Say amen. Sometimes it don't even need to be laid out, men, before your wife. Would somebody say amen? But it needs to be laid out before the Lord. Because He's the only one that can help us anyway. He's the one that's going to forgive us anyway. Lay it out. Lay it out before the Lord. They went and got it. They laid it out before the Lord. Now watch this. The Bible said Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold. Watch this. This hurts. His sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou thus troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones. And they burned them, plural, with fire. After they had stoned them, plural, with stones. And they raised up over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. We need to remember, we don't live to ourselves and we don't die to ourselves. How many of y'all got grandchildren? How many of y'all got children? I don't know about you. But I would hate to think that because of me living in defeat, and it's about me, I know you said I can't have it, but I want it. I know you said I can't have it, but I'm going to take it. I'd hate to think that it would cost one of my son, my only son, or one of my daughters, or one of my many grandsons, or my only granddaughter. But I do need to realize I'm not living to myself, and I'm not dying to myself. Our deacons and officers in this church certainly need to realize that. Every Sunday school teacher, certainly you need to realize that. Every mother, every father, every teenager. You say, preacher, it's my life. How many of y'all wouldn't care to just raise your hand and say, preacher, I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. Amen. I got something for you. I love you enough to tell you, it's not your life. You've been bought by a price. God said, would you please glorify me in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. How many moms and dads realize it's not our life? When we belong to Jesus, Brother Lance, it's not our life. It's His. We gave it to Him. Amen. We dedicated it to Him. He saved us by the grace of God. He bought us with His own precious blood. Let me give you one more thing and I'll be done. Remember, no man lives to himself. Achan, that word means troublesome. Achor, that's the valley they were in. It means troubled. I'm going to make a statement right here before I go on to the last thing. Looking right here first. Some of the trouble that I've experienced in my life, I invited it. Anybody know what I just said? No, I didn't mean that. No, it didn't mean that I just got up one day and said, boy, I'd like to have some trouble in my life. I'm talking about decisions, choices that I made, invited trouble into my life. There's some adults here tonight, surely, like me, that's got some scars you'll carry to your grave because of sin. Amen. God forgives us. But what we don't need to do is teach a generation of young people God forgives and not teach them there's consequences that go with those choices. The scars that sin leaves. How many believes if Achan had it to do over again, he might have done different? Brother Brian, you couldn't imagine watching Maggie suffer. Or Jesse, Louise, because of something you did. Wouldn't be too hard to, Brother Rick, to be stoned for a decision I made. But to watch the enemy destroy my wife and my children. It's sobering, is it not? We need to live in victory, don't we? Amen. The last thing I'll give you, come over into chapter number 8. I know I'm running a little bit over time. I believe this message is running on time. God's trying to help us, church. This is wonderful. I told my wife coming to church tonight, there's so many of our people sick. Brother Houston, I told my wife, I said, there won't be a handful of us there tonight. But look, I'm so thankful. Brother Preston got this good number for prayer meeting. Let me give you something tonight and I'm done. Come on down into chapter number 8, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not. Well, I like those words when they come from the Lord. Neither be thou dismayed. Watch this. Take how many? All the people of war. Let me tell you something. If Bible Way is what God wants Bible Way to be, Brother Gary, we can never forget that every one of them is important. We've got senior citizens. Yes, we do. We've got some to qualify to be Caleb. Amen. I'll never forget that day when Brother Merv and Brother Ralph and Brother Fred and Brother Joe were singing, and I just started doing a little math in my head. I said, there's over 300 years of experience up there. I still think Bible Way needs an experienced quartet. I believe that's what we ought to name them. Amen. The experienced quartet. Keep on singing. You say, preach them old people. This preacher will tell you right now, I thank God for them old people. I thank God for them youngins in the nursery. I thank God for these teenagers. I thank God for mothers and fathers. I thank God for grandmothers and grandfathers. And if we're going to win and be what God wants us to be, everybody's important. He said, take all the people of war with you. There is no, maybe the correct English, there are no. I'm not even sure anymore. There are no big eyes and little ears. But we do have a great big God that wants to use every one of us for the glory of God Almighty. You say, preacher, these young people that ride the van, you mean God would use them? You believe that, don't you, Sister Teresa? You may be hollering the next pastor to this church on that van. How many believes that could be the fact right there? We're not believing God if we don't believe it. Amen. Take all the people of war with you. One more thing. I know I said that a minute ago, didn't I? Look here. Look at verse 2. And thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Only the spoil thereof, watch this, and the cattle thereof shall you take for a prey unto yourselves. Lay thee an ambush for the city behind it. Here's what I want to say to you. what Achan wanted when God said he couldn't have it, God was fixing to give him anyway. Do y'all see that? Sometimes walking in victory requires, Brother Fred, waiting upon the Lord. Amen. How many of you all have ever gotten ahead of the Lord? I got ahead of the Lord one time and bought a little Ford Pinto station wagon. Need I say any more? I think it was 30 days, wasn't it, Miss Eve? The transmission went out. Amen. Miss Eve knocked the windshield out of it with her head. We had a wreck. It was terrible. That car was the accursed thing, I believe. Amen. It was bad. I didn't pray about it. He said, "Preacher, you really think you ought to? How many believes we ought to pray about things?" Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I really do. We ought to pray about things. We're living in a generation where people will follow the money. Listen to me carefully. Not even concerned about where am I going to go to church or where am I going to take my children to church. Or listen to me carefully. Amen. We're living in a generation where people look and they say, "Well, I like that house. I want that house." But the question is, does God want me to have that? How many believes that God wants you to have it so you can pay for it? Amen. How many believes God wants you to have that vehicle you can pay for it? Say amen. How many believes that God knows whether your job's going to hold up or whether it ain't? Say amen. God knows all those things. So if we'll let Him direct our steps in a matter of time, He said if we would delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. When we delight in Him, our desires line up with His desires. We don't desire things that are out of bounds. Say amen. We don't desire things that are off limits. We have desires that are blessed of the Lord. I'm just glad you come tonight. I don't know what time it is. My watch is up yonder and I can't see that one. I like how they set that up. First thing I know, Brother Richard will be hanging that thing over on the front of the bird's nest so I can see it. Amen. Amen. I'm just kidding him a little bit. I want to live in victory, don't you? Brother Kyle, I can't live in victory just always looking back. I'm going to have to look ahead. Press on. Amen. I can't live in victory if I underestimate the devil. I can't live in victory, Brother David, if I think it's all about me. It ain't about me. If you all, and I think you do, if you understood just a little bit of the responsibility, you'd be sure and pray for me. Say amen. We'd be sure and pray for one another. I'm not living to myself. I'm not dying to myself. Don't be ignorant of Satan's devices. Amen. Paul, when he talked about in Corinthians, he was talking about that unforgiveness. That's one of Satan's devices. He said, "To whom I forgave anything, I forgave it in the person of Christ." Amen. Satan's got all kinds of devices, don't he? Amen. And then just remember, everybody. Brother Allen, you've been doing what you've been doing for a long time. I hope God will let you do it a lot longer, brother. Brother Fred's been doing what he's been doing for a long time. I hope God will let him do it a lot longer. I'm just saying tonight, old or young or anywhere in between, everybody. You say, "Preacher, I can't go out and visit Saturday." That's why we set it up like we did. We can fellowship, can't we? Pray together. Amen. Everybody can't go out. But I tell you, everybody can do something. Amen. We can encourage one another in the work of God.
I like Brother Chris, I think, Katie. That's your daughter's name. And I tell you, I about had a 10-second delay right there. But I believe Katie is one of them. And there's a couple other young girls that signed up to help watch children. You say, preacher, why would you brag on them? I believe my Lord smiled when they wrote their name down there. I want to do something. I want to do something. I can't do a lot of things, but I want to do something. Amen. Amen. How many's glad you come? How many will lay it out before the Lord? Do that, will you? And if there's anything there, He'll show you. And if you get up from there and He says you're clean, then guess what? You're clean. You ain't got nothing to worry about. Amen. But I know this. I told Brother Brian, he sat over here beside Brother Grizzle Sunday morning. I told Brother Brian what made that Sunday school lesson so special to me is I had experienced it Saturday night before he taught it on Sunday morning. My wife will tell you she gets to missing me every once in a while. I go up to the building. Got a little building there above the house. And God let me lay it out before the Lord. Can I tell you? Some of the stuff was hard to deal with. He said, preacher, you couldn't admit something like that. I just did. Some of it's hard to deal with. But you got to lay it out before the Lord. How many wants to live in victory? God bless you.